Every seller has a story. I'm Georgia Mampanis, and welcome to our newest episode of the eBay Seller Spotlight Podcast, where each month we spotlight sellers with a story to share with us. Our guest this episode owns an online resale business that specializes in pre-owned and vintage clothing and fashion. When she is not busy bulking up her inventory, she is pursuing her creative endeavors by creating content on her social media channels. Welcome, Ashley Mulder.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us today and for joining us on campus this week.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, is it your first time?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have you here, and hopefully we'll have you for many more campus visits. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. What do you sell?
Like you said, I sell pre-owned clothing, fashion. I sell men's, women's, kids, all of that, but I try and focus on denim and vintage mostly. I've been doing it for about 5-6 years now. That's about it.
And what were you doing before then?
I actually went to school for fashion. I graduated from FIT in New York. Before this, I worked at the corporate office of a pretty big retail store, and I worked in store operations, which had the ability, each department really worked with store operations because they had to go through us to get anything out to the stores. So I had the ability to talk and interact with every department and actually learn about them, which has helped me tremendously today to know just how things work and everything like that.
Clearly, I can tell you're in fashion. Like, you have shown up every single day in like the coolest outfits. No one can really see, obviously, right now what you're wearing, but for listeners, she is wearing this really cool, like, printed dress, like cats and hearts, and like, you rock it so well.
Thank you.
Where did you style evolve from?
Okay, I should preface this by the fact is I don't dress like this every day. On an everyday basis, you'll catch me in a vintage t-shirt and some leggings. It's pretty much about it. But if I'm going anywhere or something like that, ever since I was in college, I remember I used to talk to my friends. I was like, I wish I could wear a dress every day. And they're like, why would you want to? I was like, it's one piece of clothing. I don't have to think about my top. I don't have to think about my pants. I don't have to think about a sweatshirt. I don't have to think about a jacket. It's one piece of clothing. Why would you not want to wear a dress every day? I've always kind of loved retro clothing, 50s fashion, stuff like that. And a couple of years, I shouldn't say a couple of years, it was probably about 10 years ago at this point, I learned about the brand ModCloth. And ever since then, I fell in love with all their dresses. That's where I buy all my dresses at.
Yeah, I know. And you did tell me about that earlier. So I got to, when I get home away from, you know, after this week, I'm going to sit my butt
after
down.
All the chaos.
Got the ModCloth. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do some shopping. I'll, you know, what I come up with. Okay, so tell me how you started selling.
So a friend of mine who worked in the same office as me, she was telling me about how she started selling some of her old clothes to make some extra cash. And I was like, oh, you eat people buy you? What? I was very confused, and I kind of forgot about it for a couple months, and then there was a month that came up, money was tight, we needed to be able to pay rent, and I had all these extra clothes I got for pretty cheap by working in fashion already, so I was like, well, let me just start selling my clothes, and so I did. I made some extra cash, which is great, and then I kind of kept doing it, even though I didn't need to, and I couldn't figure out why I was still doing it. I was like, I guess I like this. I just kind of kept going, and then I started doing some research and realized, like, oh, people actually do this full time, and like, make a living off this. This is a thing. I was like, oh my God. Okay. And I would say it was August when I sold my first item. I was full-time by April of the following year.
Okay. You did all within a year. Good for you.
Yeah.
You went to fashion school. You clearly have amazing style. Where did your passion and knowledge come from? Did it start off at a young age?
Oh yeah. At a very young age. So I have a very vivid memory of when I was 10 years old. I remember my mom asked me, like, oh, what did you want to do? Like, she was, like, trying to have one of those hard conversations with me. It's kind of like, what do you want to do when you grow up type thing? I was like, I want to be a fashion designer and I want to live in London.
Wow. I always wanted to be a mermaid. So at least she was really realistic and you were able to do it.
Yeah. I realize I'm not very good at design very quickly. And I definitely don't want to live in London. The weather's not for my lifestyle, but I kind of kept with it. And I remember when I applied to FIT, I didn't think I was going to get in. Because me and about 10 other girls from my, I went to an all-girls school. Me and about 10 other girls from my school also applied, and I was the only one that got in. And I got my acceptance late. So I had already put a deposit on another college, and I had to try and get that deposit back. So I was like, I'm not missing this opportunity to go to FIT. I was like, this is the top fashion school in the country for fashion merchandising. I was like, absolutely not. I'm taking this. And I had to fight my mom tooth and nail, but yeah. I've just always loved fashion. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's from playing with Barbies when I was younger, maybe. I have no idea, but I just love it. I don't know why.
But you're doing great. You mentioned England is so cold. You don't want to be there. Where do you currently live?
I live in Southern California. I love the sun. I love the no rain unless occasionally when you get a random hurricane, a once in a lifetime event. But yeah, I love the weather in Southern California, and Southern California has really been my home, even though I grew up on the East Coast.
Okay, where's the East Coast?
Philadelphia.
Okay. Two very different places in terms of fashion.
Very different, yes. I remember when they were teaching us in school about the fashion life cycle, they were like, they're always about 6 months more advanced on the West Coast than the East Coast. So once the trends hit the West Coast, they start to slowly move across country and hit the East Coast.
Interesting. I thought it'd be the other way around. I thought it would start at like New York.
Surprisingly, everyone else also thought the same. And no, yeah.
All right, learn something. Something or two about fashion. You're also a social media personality, well known as Millennial Mouse. Very, very unique name. There are meaning behind it.
Yes. So as you've witnessed this week, I'm very short. I'm only 4'9". And in the early 2000s, when the movie Ratatouille came out, there were these big mall posters, you know, in good mall, you see movie promotion. And there'd be the Ratatouille mouse on the poster. And he was still big on the poster, but everyone else was still like bigger than him because it wasn't like huge. Except for me. He was bigger than me.
He was bigger than you.
And so my friend started calling me Mouse. So I kind of got the nickname Mouse. And I was trying to brainstorm one night. I was up. This was like 3 a.m. I thought of it. I was trying to brainstorm to try and come up with a name that worked. And I am millennial myself. And I also love like millennial culture. I shouldn't say millennial culture. I say the convergence of our culture with the millennial generation. Millennial Mouse popped in my head. And it's been that ever since.
When you told me you were 4'9", I was completely shocked because you have this energy. I'm like, well, she's bigger than me. Like, she comes in with a force, and I loved it. So I was very shocked. So
Thank you.
I don't think you're a mouse, if that means anything. But I do love the name. It's great.
Thank you.
Okay. Through your involvement on Open, we had asked, you know, for you to put together a little bio. And one thing I learned about you is that you take great pride in being part of the LGBTQ plus community. And ensure that you provide a wide selection of fashion, not only for everybody, but everybody. I'm quoting you exactly. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people get very narrow in their sourcing options when it comes to clothing. There'll be like, oh, this size never sells because it's a extra, extra small. Or this size won't sell because it is a 4XL or something like that. Or, you know, it's a weird size of men's jeans. I gravitate towards those ones. And a lot of times I'll find styles of things that if it were like more of a traditional size, I might not have picked up. But because it's more of those outsorter sizes kind of thing, I will pick it up because of that. Because everyone needs clothing. I mean, for me, it's impossible to find jeans because I need an extra short inseam. When I have to go buy them like pre-owned, it's impossible. I have to end up buying them new because of that. So I try and focus on that, try and get a variety of clothing. Plus also I try and take the focus away from the gender of the clothing a little bit. And so things that we've always universally thought as unisex kind of thing, you're kind of pigeonholed sometimes into putting it into a category of women's or men's and stuff like that. So I try and stick with like when I call it and describe it, sticking with like adult or unisex or the type of terms I think that both would use kind of thing.
And I will say I do wear men's jeans. Like I think it fits, they fit way better than women's
jeans. And they have pockets.
They do.
Pockets that hold everything.
And they're nice and loose. Like I feel like, you know, women's jeans, like, okay, fine, the skinny jean trend isn't as in anymore. But like, I just find they fit so like constrained. But men's, okay, I got room to eat. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So going back to social media, you're kind of well known for that. And in fact, that's how we discovered you. That's how we came across you. And we're like, wow, we need to meet this person. You know, she's great. For anyone who hasn't creeped you, what type of content do you choose to post and why?
I choose to post two types of content. I started out on another platform, which shall not be named, and made my way over to eBay. And I feel like a lot of people that sell pre-owned clothing have the same journey of coming from these other platforms and then migrating to eBay. They're not starting out on eBay. And teaching them some of the tips and tricks that transitioning them to eBay based off what they've already known from these other platforms. That's kind of my goal, is to kind of teach them how to do those types of things and get more people onto eBay, because there's a lot of people that are scared of eBay that could kill it over there. But they're terrified of it. Just trying to make it easier for them. Another thing I focus on, now I don't market it this way, but I focus on kind of debunking myths. I like will watch the community and I'll see like, what are people talking about? And different things like that. What are other quote unquote influencers putting out and stuff like that, that might be wrong, bad information, old information, or just flat out not true. Or it's more nuanced and they're what they're putting out. So what I do is anytime I see something like that, that's how I get a lot of my content ideas. So it's like focusing on debunking a lot of those myths. Like I said, I don't necessarily market it as that, but that's my thought process behind it. So, and just trying to help more sellers get onto eBay, especially within the fashion category.
I'm sure people DM you all the time asking you a million questions.
Always. I always get a ton of questions. It's like, should I charge shipping? Should I do not? How do I do this? Do I do that? And I'm like, I've sat into DMs with people for hours helping them with their eBay store.
Wow.
And I have a slew of messages of people telling me like, thank you so much for getting my butt in the gear and getting on eBay. My eBay sales are up like 108%. All this stuff. They're like, I can't believe I didn't think of this earlier. All this stuff. And it's really great to hear that people are actually having success with it. It makes me feel good about like what I'm putting out there. So yeah, it's really good.
Do you have your own courses? If not, you should start.
No, I don't. I don't because I like to keep a lot of my content free and accessible.
That's really sweet of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know for a course, the amount of time and effort I would need to put into a course, especially because I actually have a friend who does sell a course. She focuses on luxury. We have a very different business model. I would be talking to her about things and she's like, you need to create a course. Your business model is unique. It's replicatable. And people need to hear this. And I was like, I would, but it's like that amount of time and stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to have to charge for that course. To me, it's like, I don't know if I can wrap my head around that yet. And then it's like, well, okay, also too, what if I create this course? What if it flops?
I mean, you never know unless you try. Just
I know.
Keep it on the, you know, keep it in your back pocket.
Yeah. So it has been something that's been kind of on my radar. There's a couple tools that I've actually already created about a year ago that I still have to release because I have to write the content for it.
Okay.
I have something called the Profit and Productivity Calculator, where it will essentially be able to calculate for people based off of all the tasks they do, what their profit per hour is.
I will be on the lookout for that. Yeah. And everyone else listening, be on the lookout for that, or whoever follows around.
Yeah, I'm saying it here to hold myself accountable to get it out because it's been done and tested for over a year. It's just I have to write the content to release it, I guess you could say, and kind of teach people how to use it. Like there's instructions, but you need to have like a content piece that goes with it, like a guide of like, why do you need this? And trying to get people to understand like why knowing your profit per hour is important, especially because like, at least in the US, everyone's always focused if you're at a regular job, what's your hourly rate? What do you get paid per hour? Everyone's always focused on that. Profit per hour, it's the same thing, but just for resellers, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is so great. I will be on the lookout. I'm excited.
Awesome.
Okay. One last thing about your social. Your feed is beautifully designed. Are you a designer? Do you do it all on your own?
I do it all on my own.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. I do have a friend of mine who works in graphic design. She's supposed to be helping me get some branded pieces together. But as of right now, yes, it's all me.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Clearly, you mastered social media. We just talked about it. What tips would you give other sellers who are looking to grow their social media accounts and hope to get discovered just like yourself?
Find something you want to talk about. And so find your niche, as they say, but also don't get too niche down. Still keep it yourself. Be authentic. Still have the account be you, but also still have a niche to it as well. So you have something you talk about, but you don't want people to be discouraged if you post something that's not related to your niche. So you want to keep it wide enough, but also have something that you typically talk about, I guess you could say. That would be the best bet. And also, don't sell out. Be authentic. Don't do things just to get followers. You'll grow when you grow. It took me quite a few years to get where I'm at. Like, it didn't happen overnight. And don't push for it. If it happens, it happens. Be yourself, and that's the best way to grow.
Yeah. Do we use hashtags? Are they still in?
Hashtags are still a thing. Reels are still a good way to get in front of people's eyes. TikTok is another space.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah, I'm not on any reseller TikTok and I will never create reseller TikTok content. But there are people that do. And what I say is there is a lack of it. And if you have the thick skin to do it, TikTok is great. But you have to have the thick skin because TikTok will rip you apart as resellers. But there's a lack. There's a need for it. There's a big need for it. But be ready.
Yeah. Start with IG.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've cross-posted some of my content to TikTok. I make sure it has nothing to do with actual reselling. It's like more about logistical stuff. Like I have a whole post on how to print 4x6 labels for platforms that don't provide you 4x6 labels. And so it's like stuff like that I try to do, not focusing on like, hey, I thrifted this item and I'm going to sell it for this much. You know, I have a thick skin in far as what someone says to me is not going to bother me. You can say it all that all you want. I don't care. But when the negative comments keep coming and coming and coming, I start to outweigh the good ones. That's what weighs me because it's discouraging. It's like, I just put 5 hours into creating this guide and all you're going to do is fight me on it? No, no, sorry. You cannot like it and just move on and not interact with this post and leave it for the people who like it, you know?
There's always going to be that one person, but I'm sure what you put out there is amazing. Don't listen to
them. Thank you.
So we did mention your brand. We mentioned a little bit, but can you just reiterate where listeners can find you and your store online?
Online, you can find all my links at millennialmouse.com. My Instagram is millennial.mouse, and my eBay store is just Millennial Mouse.
Amazing. Easy. Across the board, Millennial awesome. Mouse. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Ashley Mulder sells on eBay under the store name Millennial Mouse. You can also catch her on social media under the same name, where she shares content about all things selling on eBay. We hope you'll join us on our next episode, where we'll shine the spotlight on another seller with an amazing story to share. I'm your host, Georgia Mampanis. Jim Griffith is our editor-in-chief. The eBay Seller Spotlight podcast is produced by Libsyn and Podcast 411.